What do you want me to read again? Okay, let me get my glasses. The views, opinions, and comments expressed on this podcast by its hosts do not reflect the views or opinions of their employers, past, present, or future. The topics covered in this podcast, as well as the language used, may not be suitable for all ages. Cover the young ones' ears. Please keep an open mind, and remember, it's just three geeks talking.
You are listening to the Geeks and Grimes podcast with Bex, Rich, and Mike. And now, let's get our show started.
Hello, world. This is our fourth episode of the Geeks and Gripe podcast. You can follow us on social media using at Geeks and Gripes on Twitter. Geeks and Gripes pretty much everywhere else. Facebook, Instagram, you know it, YouTube. You can now find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And I'm still working on getting the Android stuff running. I apologize if you don't find us in the Android platform. On top of that, we're still working on www.geeksandgripes.com, so I apologize for that.
Eventually!
My leg! So, today we have a special guest. He goes by Chibi-Wan. Welcome, Chibi-Wan. Please introduce yourself and, you know, tell us what has made you a geek and how long you have been a geek for.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me on. I'm just a huge Star Wars fan ever since I was a kid. Anime, comic books, D&D, anything nerd related, you tell me about it and I can tell you a story for an hour. That's about it.
He can literally talk about anything for an hour. I can vouch for that. I've never met anybody who knows more about Star Wars or have more opinions and gripes about Star Wars. So I think he's a good guest to have here on the show today.
We accept you. One of us.
Google, gobble, Google.
So very important, if you did hear our first episode, here's kind of why we were on a hiatus in a way. It has nothing to do with us having no funding for extra storage or anything about the holidays, and that's not actually true.
It's much, much worse. It's a crime. It's a travesty. I felt like I've been betrayed and lied to all my life because of it.
So, apparently, I actually did lose my geek card because I had not either watched a single movie of Star Wars or Star Trek. And apparently, kind of like when you play Pokemon Go, you're supposed to choose a faction.
Yes.
And
you
I had not chosen one, and I lost my geek card. So I took it upon myself to first go through that anger period and wanting to wreck everything about the Geek Association. But then I sat down, I was like, you know what? They're right. I should choose a faction. So I actually sat down and watched the original trilogy. It happened. I saw it. And now so many memes on the internet make sense to me now.
Welcome.
You have grown. You gained a level, my friend.
Welcome back. We'll make sure your geek card is delivered to you. A little note will be placed on it. Your record will be wiped clean. And now that you know the memes, you are obligated to contribute to them.
It's a trap.
There we go. Thank you.
I saw that so many times as a meme, and I'm like, it didn't meant anything to me. That would actually does
oh my
mean
God.
Something to me.
Now you know. Knowing is half the battle. Go, Joe.
So I get my geek card, and I can finally start recording this show with the authority of actually being part of the geeks part of our podcast name.
You have just been introduced to the like the universe of Star Wars. There's gonna be a lot of things thrown out today that are way beyond
any of the trilogies. Oh yeah. So for all the non Star Wars fans out there, what the hell are you waiting for? But no, more realistically, you might hear terms. We'll try to explain any term that is something that just a Star Wars fan would know. For example, the Legends universe is all the stories that came before the mouse, decided to buy Star Wars and look at those stories and go like, nah, that didn't happen. So
quick note, mm-hmm. Since we used the mouse, in parody law, if you're going to use unlicensed a character from you-know-who, we must add commentary. And the commentary for that imitation means Mickey sucks.
Yeah, you can ask a lot of Star Wars fans. They'll agree. But yeah, so basically the canon, quote-unquote, universe for the Disney-acquired trademark, all that good stuff. Star Wars is anything movie-related, certain comics, certain graphic novels, any novel that was written after the acquisition, and I think some video games, not all of them.
Well, so Rebels and Clone Wars.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's considered like a visual media, like animated stuff like that.
So if you guys haven't noticed by now, today's topic will be Star Wars and, you know, recognition of the latest movie that has been released on theaters.
The Rise of Skywalker. Or as everybody else calls it, hey, we're done.
Oh, man, this is just the beginning.
And full disclosure, there's going to be some spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. You have been warned. Do not, and I repeat, do not go into the comments section going like, I didn't know that. Well, we got a warning, didn't we?
And we gave them time. Come on. If you haven't watched it by now.
It's a 2-week rule. So yeah. If you haven't watched it in 2 weeks, that's on you.
You know, I feel like you should really take that title for that movie into context. The Rise of Skywalker.
Well, we'd have to go real deep into the spoilers for that one.
Well, a lot of Star Wars movies have different meanings. That's part of the Star Wars lore, is that you have so many different threads that make just a huge blanket. You know, you have to have everything in context. The Rise of Skywalker can mean one of 15 different things. You know, you have, if we're going into spoilers right out of the bat, you know, even Luke coming back as a Force ghost, realizing that he did wrong, that's him rising to the occasion. You have Kylo, which was literally thrown down a hole. He rose out of that hole, you know.
Well, to be honest, the Skywalker. To be honest, let's all admit this, the only reason he survived that fall is because he is Ben Solo. He is that...
Man, did you see that guy, man? He's ripped.
We saw it in The Last Jedi. You know, he showed us his massive physique. And, you know, he's a walking mass of muscle. And, you know, the Emperor couldn't really dispose of him just by throwing him in a hole.
Reylo fans, man.
Ridiculous.
Reylo fans brought him back with the will of the Force.
Oh, like, God. Reylo. Oh, God.
All four kids.
We're not gonna go there. So,
I guess we just did.
Yeah, so for Mike, Reylo, I don't know if you know, Reylo is the ship name of Rey and Kylo. They're fans, quote-unquote, are... slightly less aggressive than a Tasmanian devil, but only slightly, until you go against their ship, in which case they become more aggressive, to a point where even a Tasmanian devil is afraid of them.
I would compare them more with, like, African killer bees, because they will swarm.
Yeah.
Like, hundreds of them will just swarm on you and just murder you.
Yeah, and instead of sending out a pheromone track so that, you know, the other bees can find their target, they'll go on Twitter and just be like, hey, DM this person. But honestly, let's just go straight into it. What's everybody's opinion if everybody saw that? Mike, I know you're still in coming into it, but what's everybody's opinion about the rise of Skywalker?
Okay, Chibi, you can start. I have a lot to say.
Well, you know, I watched it about 3 times, and I had to because the first time it went by so fast, it was like, it doesn't let you absorb anything, so I had to literally sit down and wait for moments to be able to see is what I thought, what I saw the first time happen. And then by the third time that I watched it, it made a lot more sense. You know, you feel that they tried. And I give it at least a good opinion on it. You know, JJ had a tough time making it, but it was made. You know, they could have gone a lot of ways with it, and they went with this one, but, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
Okay.
I just think that after episode 8, they had to pull the franchise from, like, such a deep hole that just bringing it back to, like, a positive view in my eyes was a big deal. And I think they did. I think it ended up in a positive view. I think that it's good. There's a lot that Star Wars fans will get that a lot of, like, the general public won't know or understand. You must have watched, like, Clone Wars, the cartoon series, and you would have to watch the Rebels cartoon series to really get and grasp a lot of, like, the little details. And hopefully we'll get some time to talk through some of those in a bit.
Okay. Honestly, I'm on the same boat. I liked it. I went in there with zero expectations. Most of my friends are really hardcore Star Wars fans, so I knew that they would love it. I went in there with, you know, zero expectations. And honestly, I really liked it. I laughed in some parts. I cried in some parts. And the Leia scenes literally just hit me straight in the heart. And after watching it, I can literally say without a shadow of a doubt that my hatred for The Last Jedi increased tenfold. I just hate The Last Jedi even more. Not even joking.
Okay, but I think that J.J. Abrams actually, I don't want to say disrespected, but he actually did enough, like, damage to Last Jedi to retcon and kind of pull back a lot of the things that Rian Johnson had done.
Well, like, the thing is, because Rian Johnson, like, okay, so basically the idea of this trilogy was we're going to give us a movie to 3 different directors. We're going to have a central storyline, and each director will showcase their respective segment of that storyline. Cool. J.J. Abrams started it. Like, wasn't bad. I liked it. Like, the Force Awakens, I liked that movie. And then Rian Johnson took it, and in an interview, he stated that he wanted to subvert expectations. And by subvert expectations, I assume he meant use the script as a toilet paper roll. I don't know. And he brought so many things that honestly, I hate. I really hate. And not just, like, you know, not some stuff that people complained about, like the Snoke thing. I could care less about Snoke. I'm not even gonna lie. But
it was terrible.
Yeah, there were other things, like he took a character that had so much potential, like Phasma, and just crapped all over it. He completely ignored Finn, who in The Force Awakens, we're like, oh crap, he's Force sensitive. Oh, he's a former stormtrooper. Oh, he defected. He had so much potential to kind of develop a story. Nah, screw it. We're gonna send them to a casino planet with this character because reasons. No. I just hate The Last Jedi even more now.
There is a dark force inside of Disney, and she has a lot more control than a lot of other people do in these movies. And Rian Johnson was put in there basically as a puppet. You know, it was like, do what I want you to do, have a little bit of fun, but these messages have to come across.
Well,
and
yeah,
he did what they asked to.
Because I'll be completely honest. I'll be completely honest. One of the worst parts of The Last Jedi was that Admiral. What was her name? I don't.
Holdo.
Holdo.
Yeah, she's that unmemorable that I don't care about her name. So.
Purple hair girl.
No. Honestly, like, you could have taken the same role that she took in kind of like humbling Poe, but just have done it with Leia. Exclusively with Leia. Leia be sort of a mother, because that's what Leia's been doing. She's been sort of a mother to Rey. She's been an inspiration to Poe. We'll have her teach him that lesson. Don't just have this random new character who we're supposed to believe is an amazing commander, and she's treating him like garbage. Why? Because he's a hotshot? Okay.
He needed to learn humility.
Be a hotshot.
You know, when you're a general, you need to know that sometimes you have to follow orders, man. You know, for instance, her sacrifice at the end, it could have been done by a droid.
Yes.
This droid push this button while I go on the thing and leave, but she stayed behind. So, you know, you gotta give her a little bit of credit.
No, not really.
No, not really.
It's called the Holdo maneuver now. That's famous.
Yeah, and Poe showed us that, you know, the Holdo maneuver is garbage because he can just light skip jump through different planets. Because
that angered me so much.
But it was from Rebels. Come on.
Look, I understand, but the whole thing about lights jumping is you need to calculate it. They took something that's a concept
or
that in other Star Wars movies was complicated. Like, look at when Han had to do it. It had to take a minute to calculate it in his mind to be able to do it.
Or
he just went for it.
Or be an amazing pilot, like Poe is.
Like Poe.
I get it that, you know, Han was an amazing pilot as well. Like, let's be honest, the stuff he did was legendary. But since, you know, they killed him off in the first movie, he couldn't be there to teach Poe. So we just have to learn that Poe is awesome. And again, that's another thing that I really liked about The Rise of Skywalker. It gave Poe a backstory, basically. And the dynamic between him and Finn was, like, their romance is the stuff of legends. That's what we need more of.
Yeah, they'd make a good cop movie, both of them. But, you know, you gotta think about it. If you have a person like Holdo that's in charge, right? She's in Star Wars lore, she's known Leia since she's a kid. So that's one of the new books that came out, the Leia book. It explains a little bit more about their relationship and how they grew up. But Poe in The Last Jedi, he stood in front of a dreadnought with his X-Wing and BB-8. That X-Wing had a prototype engine on it. They didn't know if it was going to work or not. So he ran that thing. It was the fastest X-Wing in X-Wing history. He broke a record that day. Nobody said anything about that. You have to read a comic to know about that. But he broke a record, the fastest X-Wing ever. He stood in front of a dreadnought, bro. He blew all that stuff up by himself. And then
I'm sure you can ask Rian Johnson and he wouldn't know that you just said. He wouldn't care.
That later.
Like, like, all of this is, like, garbage that was never intended for Last Jedi. It was just crappy.
Hey, Mike.
I think we can just, like, move on from Last Jedi.
Mike, are you taking notes? You better be taking notes. You will be quizzed.
I thought I was going to be quizzed on the trilogy by itself.
Oh, yeah, eventually.
You know what, Mike? What did you think about Star Wars? What did you, like, you watching it for the first time after seeing memes and all these things, what did you feel watching it?
Well, that's an interesting question. I started watching the trilogy with no expectations. I have to be honest. I am not a sci-fi person at all. I've only watched previously. I've only watched the Star Trek movie with Zachary Quinto in it. which I now heard it doesn't count as Star Trek either.
Yeah, the whole alternate universe, blah blah blah, all that.
Right. So I came in with zero expectations. I understand the movie was made in the 1970s, so I was impressed a lot by how they pulled off a lot of the things they did in the 1970s. The
Well,
first movie, obviously, I came with no background. I decided to watch the original trilogy first because that's how everybody else got to start seeing Star Wars. So I don't think it would have been fair for me to see any prequel. I felt the movie was exactly an intro to this universe. You saw Luke and his uncle and aunt. You get this Ben Kenobi introduced to you. You start seeing like this whole concept of an empire. I felt strange how they strayed away from, I don't know if it changed, but strayed away from the empire being kind of like a board of directors in a way, from to the second episode where a second movie where we see Darth Vader kind of somewhat take over the role of just one evil person and controlling a giant army. But I felt that first movie was, I felt that vibe that they're trying to introduce us to to this universe or universes. And that's how I felt about it. But I was completely taken out, taking off or impressed by how they pull all these still graphic movements in the 1970s. Then I went on to see the second movie, and now is when I start feeling that, okay, now I'm starting to see why other people are drawn to it. This is just a small piece of an entire universe that I have still yet to know in its entirety. And the continuation factor of them is alluring because it leaves those cliffhangers that are so needed from you to skip from one episode to another, regardless if it's in a movie or a TV format. So that was entirely impressive. And as the movies got older, I mean closer to the modern day era, it's still the 1970s, but I'm still taken off by how well those still graphic animations have gone. So I've seen it for its artistic value. I like the story, and I liked how the movie, the original movie trilogy ended. I think it was kind of quick. They went from rescuing Han to, well, I don't know who technically got the kill there for Vader. I guess the Emperor counted there, but that was kind of quick in my opinion. But I felt the same way as when I finished a Legend of Zelda game before the whole timeline thing got, let me put this in air quotes, explained by Nintendo,
Clarified,
where,
clarified.
yeah, whatever. And that's the feeling I got. I'm impressed. I'm taking this in the best way possible for a person that, I'm really not a sci-fi fan. For some oddball reason, I am not a fan of sci-fi, but I think it's the best of that genre that I've ever seen before, honestly. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah,
I still
it's all
have yet
about
to
the
watch a prequel.
storytelling, man.
Yeah,
The
the storytelling
storytelling.
is just amazing. The fact that it's like a tiny like atom in this like huge universe, so many things are happening. You would have to sit back and just read like, okay, so this happened 35 years before this, and this like they were like born here, and they were like the same age as these other two. And you start kind of piecing together, okay, so Luke and Leia are the same age as like Ezra, right? Sabine was a little bit older.
Sabine's
Also,
older.
you have to take into consideration that when the originals came out, none of that stuff was written. Like he had an idea in his head of what the universe was what like this big story
But it would
The whales.
he had planned, but also going into the technological aspect, he invented a ton of filming techniques just to make Star Wars.
Yep.
Industrial light and magic.
So
They
that makes me
push
curious.
technology forward, like just like
Yeah.
movie technology, they push it forward like maybe a decade. Like they were really ahead of their time. And even today, you have to sit back and just, like, enjoy that the troubles that they went through to get, like, you know, speeders or, like, you know, like, the ratios of, like, a big mech versus humans. Like, all of that, like, just the magic of that is amazing.
So I have a question, though. I remember when I was somewhere, like, I don't know, 14, 15, probably. I was talking to somebody who already saw Star Wars, and I think this was just before, actually. Now I don't remember my age then, but it was just before the first episode, the one with the Phantom Menace. He told me that day, and this is probably 20 years ago. I don't know when that movie went out. I don't have the date here at hand. He told me that Star Wars was originally intended to be 9 episodes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Lucas always had that vision in mind. Basically, after he did the original trilogy, he came back, did the prequels, kind of like set up the whole Vader storyline, how he became where he was, all that. After that, movies weren't really in his like vision, but all the novels that came out expanded the universe so much more, and then the mouse appeared.
Wait, and just a small like tangent, like the idea that Michael remembers something that happened when he was 15, like he just to clarify, he does have eidetic memory. Just something I wanted to throw in.
It's not as perfect as it used to be, but yeah, I remember who the person was, and he told me, it's like straight up, Star Wars is meant to be 9, and what's coming out is the first prequel before the trilogy. And I was like, so this whole 9 episode thing was like an idea.
Originally, Star Wars was just one movie. Star Wars was something that George Lucas had to get out of the Film Guild to be able to make, because he wanted to use certain elements that Film Guild didn't approve back then. And between him and his wife, they edited and they shot the movie. But with the popularity of Star Wars, they demanded more. So that's why he had to come in and invent more. Because first of all, Vader didn't have the Luke, I'm your father thing in the beginning. That came later.
Well, yeah, but the funniest part is that I think it was Mark Hamill and James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader, when they were doing the first sit-down read, nobody knew about that. Mark Hamill says that when he read that, he was like, wait, what? What? And they had to keep it quiet from everybody. Because that was one of the big reveals where everybody's going to be like, wait, what, George? What the heck are you talking about?
Yeah, it was interesting. There's a Mandela effect about that now.
Pretty much. and one funny fact. The studios or the film company that basically backed Lucas's vision for the original Star Wars had so little faith in it that they were okay with letting George Lucas have the rights to all merchandise and toys, because they figured, nobody's going to buy anything. Yeah.
He needed money to finish it. Steven Spielberg bet him to see if the movie was going to work or not, and he helped out. He gave him actual money to do it, and Steven Spielberg made a lot of money back after that.
Oh, that's yes.
Why they're still friends.
Oh, yes.
Even like the actor for like Obi-Wan, like he did like an awesome deal in his contract. Like he didn't even complete that whole movie. Like he was just there in the first one, well, 4, and he passed it to all like his kids and grandkids. It's amazing.
Yeah,
they're still making like millions nowadays with like through Disney, like all of their like his like lineage. It's awesome.
He got a great loyalty clause in that contract then.
Well, they like the studios didn't think it was going to make money. The studios thought it was going to be one movie that would tank, because nobody had really done anything similar in a sense. It's basically an epic, like an old Greek epic, but in space.
I see a lot between the first Star Wars and The Mandalorian. I see that the studio had no faith in The Mandalorian. They gave them a small budget, but they gave them the right people to do it, and it became this overnight sensation.
Well, you
know, Star Wars has been having a problem with merch for years now.
Yep.
And it's the first time that people are going crazy over anything Star Wars.
Baby Yoda!
Baby Yoda! So here's the funniest part, though. The creative control over Star Wars has been passed from Kathleen Kennedy to Jon Favreau, the guy in charge of The Mandalorian.
Which is awesome. He actually brought Dave Filoni for the first episode.
Yep.
Dave Filoni is the best brain after George Lucas. Anybody like who has ever been involved in Star Wars, it is like George Lucas, then Dave Filoni.
Yep.
Like, there's nobody that even gets close.
So the funniest thing is that what I'm hoping, like legit, what I'm hoping, because every single episode of The Mandalorian had a different director. What I'm hoping is that since they basically like cast aside the Game of Thrones duo that was originally going to be in charge of the next trilogy, that Jon Favreau can go like, oh, by the way, you see these directors that I had for The Mandalorian, the show that everybody liked? Yeah, these are my new directors for the movies.
Dave Filoni. Like, he give everything to him. Like, he would do an awesome job.
He should be a filter. Like, you should pass everything through him first as for an approval, and once he says yes on it, then...
He's a genius. Like, he absorbed everything Star Wars, and just everything that comes out of that man's, like, brain is, like, just... gold. It's amazing.
This is the way.
When they were making Clone Wars, so this guy, he invented so much of the Star Wars lore. Like, I don't understand why they never gave him more prominence in the movies.
Yep.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Oh my God! Yes. But just to be clear, like even like in Rise of Skywalker, going back to like the last movie, there were so many little details that were like part of like things that Dave Filoni or other like legends, like there were like little like respect scenes, like, you know, when Rey has this contact with the snake, the giant snake, that is something that Ezra did in Rebels, and
that's,
you would go back to like
that's
like,
something
even the last scene,
that's something Baby Yoda did as well. That's
okay, but Ezra did it first.
I know Ezra, but that but that's the funniest part is like, you know, Ezra did it, Baby Yoda did it, Rey does it, and when Rey does it, some people are like, oh, what? How could she do that? It's the Force. That's you know, you use your Force, and you just need it.
It's respect to Ezra, you know, like, it's respect to that scene, it's respect to Rebels. Rebels is part of the canon, and a lot of people will never know because it's cartoons, right? But even the scene where, like, Rey is dressed in white and Kylo's dressed in black, she's representing the light side, he's representing the dark side. This goes back to the Mortis family back in, like, Clone Wars. Like, the fact that she controls life and he controls death, like, all of that, like, ties back so wonderfully. Like, if you have seen all of these, like, series that nobody will, like, ever watch because they were cartoons. But it's actually, like, amazing Star Wars lore. And that is part of, like, a lot of what a lot of people will miss in all of this.
Well, no, there's a lot of things, like... So, like, a lot of people won't understand the Palpatine thing. How is he back? Again, spoilers. But if you read the old lore, if you read the Legends lore, you would know that, yeah, this was expected. Because Palpatine never really trusted anybody. He knew that a Sith apprentice will destroy a Sith master. That is
how
to do it. That's the rule of two. And the problem was, he's like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to die. So he had, like, Palpatine had backup plans upon backup plans for when his apprentice would destroy him. Because he figured, he's going to do it eventually. Hell, there was one comic where, like, basically in the comics, the Vader comics, you know that Vader had been literally plotting to take over and kill Palpatine for almost all the time he was with him. Like, once he knew that his son was alive and that his son was powerful in the Force, he's like, okay, I'll have my boy and we'll rule the galaxy as father and son. But, like, Palpatine was informed of this, and instead of attacking Vader, he laughed. He's like, oh, my apprentice is kind of ambitious. I like that. Yeah, I like you, kid.
Well, Palpatine never had a lot of faith in Vader. He wanted Anakin. You know, he got Vader, but his true goal was to have Anakin in his full power. Vader was very limited.
But it was limited because also Palpatine, like, limited him in the armor. Like, the suit itself limited Vader's power.
Well, he fixed that later. Vader, remember, Anakin is very tech-savvy. He built C-3PO. Mm-hmm. Shoot, I thought there was going to be, like, an Anakin reveal when they were talking about the Sith and, like, going into his memory. I thought there was going to be, like, a transmission from Anakin saying something about where the Sith, whatever they were looking for, the Wayfinder or whatever they were trying to find. That would have been legit.
No, yeah. I'll be honest. When I saw the trailers and I saw that part and then I saw C-3PO with his red eyes, for a moment, I'm like, oh, Triple Zero's going to come in. Well, everybody's dead.
That would be super legit. That's what everybody was expecting, to be honest. But I just wanted to, like, say, like, a funny story. Like, years back, we were talking, Shibi and I were talking, and he likes the Legends universe. I say, like, if it's not in a movie or in any visual media, it's not canon. So he was talking to me about, like, how Palpatine had all of these clones and how he could control full airships, like a full, like, navies.
Battle meditation.
And, like, to do battle meditation. I said, like, that is OBS. Somebody came out, that's fan art. And to see that they actually implemented that in a movie, the respect that they showed to all of these artists from, like, you know, 30 years ago.
He was doing it in Revenge, what was it? Return of the Jedi.
But it was not explicit. They never specified it explicit. Somebody had this idea in a book and they brought it up. But the fact that you were talking about, like, cloning and all of that, like, that he had clones of himself and he would survive and all of this actually is now canon. And that's something that we were laughing, like, I was just, like, laughing at it, like, years back. And the fact that they actually paid enough respect to, like, this the Legends universe and what other people were thinking and what a lot of the fans knew and nobody else did, I think that it was a two-bladed sword. All the fans really loved it, because if you really know Star Wars, you knew all of this was already, like, written. It was just not part of, like, the canon. But at the same time, all of these, like, new age Star Wars fans were expecting, you know, Reylo and, like, you know, all this, like, really
women kissing.
So the idea that that they paid, like, J.J. Abrams paid so much respect to, like, the true Star Wars fans, that if you had read Legends, if you knew about all of these, like, old books, if you watch Clone Wars, if you watch Rebels, all of these, like, little elements, that's what I liked about the movie. Like, you really had to sit down and talk through, like, a lot of, like, even the scene when Rey is, like, bouncing back the lightning at Palpatine, like, I thought about Mace immediately, you know? Like, it just brought back a lot of, like, memories and a lot of, like, things that I never thought I would see in the big screen.
I'll be honest. Like, I really, really wish that JJ had been in charge of The Last Jedi.
Everybody does.
Like, I really want to see what he could have done with that, what he would have done different. And there are some things about The Last Jedi I'm kind of sad that we didn't see a resolution to. For example, we didn't really get to see a side of the third faction in Star Wars, so to speak. The bounty hunter, the scum, the villains, the people who are, like, they don't side with anybody, they side with whoever has the money. That was one aspect that I really would have liked to have seen kind of showcased, because, like, scum characters have had a pretty deep impact.
And rose to the First Order.
And I think I'm hoping that The Mandalorian is going to bring a lot of that out.
It
like,
should.
Mandalorian is like this underworld kind of thing.
It should.
And then it, yeah, it should bring a lot of that out.
Because honestly, they are basically the third faction. They're the faction that's, you know, they don't care about your hokey religions. They don't care about light or dark side. Pay them the money, they'll do the job. That's it. That was the allure of Boba Fett back in the original trilogy. Like, Boba Fett in the original trilogy had, what, 6 lines? 5?
5 lines.
But look at Bosk and IG-88. Like, they were nobody.
Exactly.
They are, like...
Exactly, that's what I mean. Like the bounty hunter scene in the original trilogy, when Vader contracts these bounty hunters, like, you see all of them, you're like, can I know about them? Like, I'd like to know about them. And hell, even Boba Fett, we really didn't know much, but we knew that just by looking at him, yeah, he's a dangerous mofo. Like, he will definitely hurt somebody.
That's the best.
And
thing
we,
about
you know,
Star
Wars. We kind of got an expanded version of that, not only through the prequel trilogy, but also through Clone Wars and through like Rebels and all that. But it's a side that, you know, they had a good idea in The Last Jedi. They just executed it very, 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 very poorly.
Was that enough berries?
Yeah, just think about Cad Bane. Cad Bane is an amazing character.
Exactly.
Like, I would have loved to see a lot more of Cad Bane.
Cad Bane, he's scum. He works with the dark side, he saved Obi-Wan at one point. He is scum. He does things his own way, and you really don't want to try to control him, or bad things will happen to you.
I wanted to see more of Hondo.
Hondo's awesome. Hondo's an awesome character. Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Star Wars, it gives you like this little snippet. It's up to you to look for more, and it's there. You just got to go and find it. And it's the people that go out and find it are the people that I consider that actually like it.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to go on a date night to go see the big blockbuster movie that came out and not understand anything that's going on. It's just you went on a date and be able to tell your friends, hey, I went to go see Star Wars, versus the guy that's been reading comic books, playing video games, pays for Disney Plus. You know, right now you have The Mandalorian. It's going to come out when? In September?
Next season?
Fall
2020. So
you imagine little baby Yoda with a little Mandalorian helmet and some Mando armor on? Like,
every ovary within a good section of the hemisphere would explode. It was... Dude, I kid you not. Like, we would have, like, little viewing parties for it. Every time Baby Yoda did something, like, cute.
Anything.
Like, my friends would literally go, oh, like, ovaries would just implode from the cuteness.
No, I want to see a Darth Baby Yoda. You see, one of my friends pointed it out to me. He's super observant.
Yeah.
If you notice, in every scene that he's in, he's watching everything that's going down. And... he's used both sides of the Force.
Yeah, well, that think of it this way. That's the potential and scary part of it. What happens when you take a Force-sensitive youth and put him with the dark side? He becomes a Sith. What happens when you put him with the light side? He becomes a Jedi. What happens when you put him with a bounty hunter? Huh.
The third faction.
No, a Grey Walker, basically. It's a Grey Walker. they're neither dark nor light because the Force isn't... either. The Force is just the Force. It's whoever uses it. Which is why in the prequels, Mace Windu in the Clone Wars cartoon could use a Force Crush. Basically,
well, his lightsaber
Mace Windu gave Grievous a nice little chest tickle with the Force. Mm-hmm. And that...
Well, but Mace, what Chibi just mentioned was really irrelevant. Like, Mace's sword fighting technique required him to, like, just be one edge from being in the dark side.
Well, yeah, but that's the beauty of Mace. He was that close to being not the dark side, just a Greywalker. He understood that, hey, sometimes to get stuff done, you need you need to be a little aggressive. Technically, Obi did that on Mustafar when he relieved Anakin from some of his limbs from the high ground. He used a Sith technique. That technique that he used to cut off the arm and the leg is a Sith technique, a Sith fighting technique. And Jedi were never supposed to use it. But at that point, Obi-Wan's like, well, kind of need to.
Well, he told him not to try it.
He warned him he had the high ground.
Exactly!
And just a little trivia, and I don't know if anybody remembers, but what was that force beast in Rebels that wasn't light or dark? That they go back and ask for advice a couple of times. Anybody remember his name?
No, man, I don't remember.
Goro.
Yeah, it was like Guru or something like that. Like, that guy was like, it just legit. Showed that it was a third branch of the Force. He was a Force, like, being, but he wasn't either light or dark. And he represented both at some point.
It's like you were talking about the Mortises. That's that whole concept. You have the light side, which was represented by the sister, and you had the dark side that was represented by the brother, but the father watched over both of them. So, in the Clone Wars, when I think it's Ahsoka dies first, and then the brother kills the sister, I think, and before she dies, she passes the last of her life force to Ahsoka. And that's why the little owl is always with her, is a representation of her.
Mm-hmm. And it's it opened up, like, Ahsoka just inherited the light side of the force, like the whole light side of the force. She inherited, like, the Sister Mortis power. So that was something that was left open. And it was something, like, it was interesting. She and I were talking earlier about all the voices that talked to Rey at the end of the movie. And he mentioned that Ahsoka was there. I didn't hear it when I saw the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But that would mean that Ahsoka is dead. But there's a lot of hints, especially from Filoni himself, that she is not dead. So where or what happened to Ahsoka? Ahsoka is one of the best created characters in the Star Wars universe. She's probably
a lot more connected to the Force than anybody else.
Yes. And something interesting as well is that Ezra wasn't in, right?
Yeah, I looked it up. I wanted to find out if Ezra had said anything to her, and there was nothing said by him. So that could also mean that he's still alive.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and some of the initial leaks for Rise of Skywalker had Ezra he had some props on set.
So okay, maybe so it was so part of the intention. You guys do realize that the ghost was in the big.
Oh yeah. Yes.
So basically, we had the ghost. Maybe it was the ghost. Maybe it was just a ship.
It was the ghost.
We had
in Rogue One, like Chopper was in Rogue One.
Yeah, we had a Fang, so Fen Rao could have been there. Assuming he's alive, I don't remember if he's alive.
I was looking for Ahsoka, and I didn't see it.
No,
but Fen Rao would be too old, I think.
Yeah, you never know. Fen
Rao would have been
a Mando though.
Fen is Fen.
Mandalorians, how do Mandalorians age? Do they age slower?
No, they're just people, but a Mandalorian could have been there. You know, they have been.
Well, yeah. We don't know. That's the funny part, because the Mandalorian is happening between episode 6 and episode 7.
Yep.
So we don't know what could. It could have been Daddy Mando in the Fang. Well, we don't know.
That would be awesome.
Well, I think Sabine went with Ahsoka at the end to go find Ezra.
And Thrawn.
Thrawn. Why hasn't Thrawn showed up again?
Ahsoka's up there and Thrawn.
Going from that, everybody caught up on The Mandalorian?
I haven't seen the last two
episodes. Then we will not speak of it.
We'll
I am a proponent on of not spoiling something.
Yeah,
I'm almost last 45 up. Minutes, by the way.
That's what happens when geeks talk about Star Wars. So basically now, Mike, your next homework to gain a nice little golden Death Star on your geek card is to watch episode 1, 2, and 3. And
I was going to see one of my flights, but apparently it ended too quick for me to start one, so.
well, now you have to see it, so you can also be cursed like the rest of us with
See,
knowledge of what a Gungan is.
Gungans
Oh
ain't
God.
that bad, man.
Oh, we've had this conversation so many times. Like,
No,
Jar Jar is like,
no.
Misa
Again,
don't know what Yusa
no.
talking about.
No, man. You have to go into true Star Wars lore to understand what was going on there.
You should explain. Like, most probably Dex knows about it, but yeah, go
Sure.
ahead. Go ahead,
Oh,
expand. What
what?
was Jar Jar all about,
Well,
Chibi?
technically, Jar Jar was supposed to be Sith.
Ah, yes, there we go.
Technically,
No,
Jar Jar was
it's not a
supposed to be
spoiler.
like a Sith master.
Think about it though.
And it would
Siths are masters at deception.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you
No,
ever
that
expected that from
no,
him?
I wouldn't
Of
like
course.
it.
Ba
Bro,
basically
his eyes
basically
are yellow. He's in the middle of the landing, exactly where Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan show up. He takes them down into the Gungan palace. Everybody sees him, is like, oh, it's Jar Jar, oh no, and they run away from him. You know, as a clumsy guy is one thing, but for people to run away from you in fear is another thing.
No. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's one. It's one thing to be clumsy. It's another to survive an entire battle just out of your clumsy.
The force, bro. Think about it.
Exactly.
It explains. He was really like lucky, or he had the
No,
force
man,
on his side.
there is no luck in the Star Wars
Yeah.
universe, man. It's the force. That's what I say. A lot of people don't
Now
talk
you know,
like.
now you have to see the beauty that is Gungans and Jar Jar. And
He's gonna watch and he's gonna be like, Chibi was right.
the battle scenes were pretty good. Like, I'll give you that. Like the whole battles
The
and stuff
movie
were
was.
like nice. Like
Bro,
the
that movie is
whole
so good. I don't know why people don't like it.
the races were crappy.
The pod races
The
were
pod
crappy? Are you
races was like
crazy?
crap. I
Bro.
didn't like that movie. Like the
Also, I was
Gungans,
rooting
pod
for you, and I was
racing.
like,
Another thing, I'll be completely honest. I do not fault Hayden Christensen for his performance. I fault the writers. Because anytime
Lucas
Hayden
is not a good
Christensen is not
writer.
talking, but he's acting like through emotion, like if he's angry, if he's happy, if he's like worried, he does a good job. It's when he has to read those lines, like I hate sand.
I think Natalie Portman was the one that wasn't doing good acting.
Really?
Look at it, right? Because there are parts where Anakin is giving it his all, and she's like, meh. And she's supposed. Look, the love that Anakin and Amidala,
Pardon me,
Padme, they have is legit, man. They break stuff. They break Jedi code to do it. The way they get married, man, is so. I like the Clone Wars version, the cartoon one, better. But the one in the movie was okay.
The one in the movie was pretty good.
Well, it's been what,
But
10
yeah,
years now?
honestly, Star Wars is one of those staples of geek culture that love it or hate it. Honestly, it's just part of it.
It's gonna live on
I am
forever.
kind of disappointed in the fandom on multiple sides, not just on one side, because basically, this new franchise, like these new movies, really divided the fandom in a way that it really shouldn't. And also, there were other forces out there that made things look worse than they were. But in the end, like, people just love it. People live for it. People, like, there's people that do entire weddings at Star Wars characters.
It's a way of life.
Yeah,
It's a
it's
way of
yeah,
life is the best way to describe
it's a
it.
way of
Like once
life.
you go into Star Wars, like you start thinking differently. The universe, like galaxies far away, actually like have something in your brain. Like it just triggers something. You know, like looking at the Milky Way at night, it just says like you know, like yeah, there's stuff happening over there. There's like some space battles. There's some like Wookiees. You know, it just broadening your horizons.
Just remember, it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Or, as Granny would say it, my teen years.
Well, Mike, you have your homework. What do you think about Star Wars now that you've heard us ranting about it?
Well, I think the first thing that comes into mind is, like, I now just heard that The Mandalorian, which is the current media endeavor for that universe, takes place between episode 6 and 7. What's going to happen now after the quote-unquote final, end quote, movie has finished? Is there more to come, or is everything just going to be built around it?
Well, according to the plan, like the original plan, again, before the whole kerfuffle happened with the Game of Thrones guys and whatever, the whole plan was this movie, episode 9, finished the whole Skywalker saga from episode 1 all the way to this. And then from the next trilogy would be a whole new story, whole new characters, whole new everything. Probably set like years or decades in the future. So are they going to keep doing that? Who knows?
Or, fingers crossed, is Ahsoka and Sabine finding Ezra and Thrawn. That would be amazing.
totally unbiased desire, huh?
Yep. But yeah, just to be fair, like, Last Jedi did something. Like, it proved that there were other Force users in the universe. Like, the Broom Kid, like, he's been talked about, like across, like, forums and
whatnot. Oh, God, Broom, you know, Boy.
Like, yeah, Broom Kid. So, he could be a Jedi, you know? Like, Ezra could teach him, you know? Like, it's...
Well, the Force is always out there. Like, even if Jedis aren't out there, even if Sith aren't out there, the Force is always there.
Yep.
So everybody has a little bit of it. It's just how much do you manifest it, you know?
Baby Yoda teaches the Broom Boy.
Baby Yoda's going to just carry this whole thing on his back for the next 100 years.
See, this is a good example of you don't need to be inclusive in a standard way to include. Apparently, the female population loves Baby Yoda.
Yep, they definitely do.
It's Baby Yoda. He's the most cute thing since, I can't even think of anything. Yoda. It's Baby Yoda. It's the cutest thing ever, man.
Since now the bar has been raised.
Yeah, cuteness level. Like, he created, like, millions of memes immediately. Like, once it was, like, the first episode came out, like, the memes flow through the internet.
That I saw.
So, and something else, Mike, like, you have kids, like, the idea of just sitting down and watching the whole Clone Wars, starting with the movie, and Rebels, with your kids, it's just a bonding experience. You'll be, like, bringing them into Star Wars the right way, man.
It's a good way to come into Star Wars.
Yeah.
This is the way.
Clone Wars and Rebels are amazing. Amazing pieces of work.
It's maybe, like, 30 episodes out of all of them that are good, then all the other ones are like fillers, but
it's for kids. Kids will love them, you know, like the little the episode with like Ahsoka training all the like the younglings. That was a cute episode. Like, a kid would love that episode, you know.
I'm sorry, I'm part of the dark side. Anytime I hear younglings, all I hear is Order 66.
I don't know, I tried, now that I saw a trilogy, I tried to get my kid into it, and he still is not wanting to go into it yet.
We'll start with the cartoons. The movies. Start with the cartoons. They're awesome.
Have you ever thought about that if Anakin's lightsaber is the one that Rey uses, that's the youngling lightsaber?
The one that killed all the younglings?
Think about it.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Technically, I mean, if...
So she has a child murder weapon.
Well, that's why she... Yeah. Ariel.
Puts that thing to rest.
Oh, and the scene in Rise of Skywalker where Leia is completing her training, that was, like, amazing for me. Like, I loved it. Come on. Well, she had her own lightsaber. That was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, well, again, that's the thing. Like, if you went into like the back lore, everybody's like, oh, why is Leia sensitive in the Force? Because she's a Skywalker. She was never trained, actually. Yes, Luke trained her in the old novels. And yep. he trained her. Now we confirm that he trained her in this one. So she does know how to use the Force.
And it explains a little bit the Leia popping scene. Well, just a little bit.
Well, yeah. But, like, okay, so technically a Force user can survive in the vacuum of space for a little while. That's what she did. She was there for a little while. It still took a lot out of her. She wasn't exactly a spring chicken anymore. But it depends. And it's why Luke could do the Force projection, but it killed him. He had sealed himself from the Force for so long that sudden rush of all the power, because Luke was one of the most powerful Jedi in existence. Just the sheer shock of all the Force coming back to him and him having to use it. Yeah, it killed him. But the one thing that not everybody talks about is when a Jedi disappears, he's at peace. They're at peace with...
He becomes one with the Force.
They're one with the Force. Now they've become the Force. That's why Luke passed the way he passed. That's why Obi-Wan became one with the Force. And that's why in Rise of Skywalker, Leia and Ben went into the Force. Because they were at peace, finally.
And it was actually Qui-Gon Jinn who actually, like, first discovered this. And Clone Wars actually showed that. Like, he came...
Sisters taught it to him.
Yep, and he came back to teach Yoda, who learned that from Qui-Gon Jinn. He was the first, Jedi to, like, discover
this. That's what I'm saying. Like, did anybody tell Ben how to do this or Leia how to do this?
Well, they...
One thing interesting was...
You don't need to know. That's the thing. You don't... The thing with that...
Well, it took Qui-Gon Jinn
training. You have to
Qui-Gon Jinn
struggled
to
learn this thing.
Well, that sucks for him. But to become one with the Force, you have to be at peace. And that's why Leia...
But Jedi's before Qui-Gon Jinn couldn't do it.
Yeah, but because they didn't have that understanding.
So I guess it's something that Yoda would have taught, like generations later. Because he learned it from Qui-Gon, according to Clone Wars. So I guess it's Yoda would have been teaching them how to, become one with the
Force. Okay, if you want...
Like every Jedi afterwards.
If you want to go with that, simple. Yoda trained Luke. Luke trained Leia, Luke trained Ben. There, done.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, that explains everything. So now there's a Kylo Force ghost
somewhere.
Where
was he at the end of the movie to wave by Rey and stuff?
Ben Swallow, thank you very much.
It would have been legit if he would have been without a shirt and been like, I'll see you around, Rey. But one of the interesting things about that was a lot of people talk about the scene when Han shows up to Kylo. When I was watching it, what I took from it was it wasn't Han, and it was Leia projecting herself as Han at that moment when it was most critical for her son, because she knew it, she felt it.
Honestly, I never thought it was Han in the sense of Force ghost. I honestly just thought it was... Basically,
well, it couldn't have been a Force ghost because he wasn't blue.
No, exactly. Well, I'm saying. Like, it's the lingering. It was just the lingering memory, the doubt that Ben.
But it was Leia. With him. Like Leia, that's why she actually died. She actually used the last of her life force to. I want to call project. It force project.
Just what Luke did with Kylo.
So it was very similar. Like he just
even
like,
touches. There's a scene where Han just touches his face. And he feels it, because he, react. Well, I'm guessing he's an actor, so obviously he's going to react to it, but that's something a mother would do. I don't see Han being coming up to his son and, you know, caressing his son's face.
Dude, oh, come on, man. You saw him in The Force Awakens. Like, he was close to that.
But Han isn't until, that sentimental type.
Until,
like,
no.
When you tell him you love him, he's like...
Dude, no.
Harrison Ford, man.
Sorry. But, like, Han Solo in The Force Awakens, you see that he's the whole Ben going to the dark side changed him completely. And the possibility of him getting his son back or helping his son.
Well, his sacrifice was for that. So I'm not taking away from Han that loved his son. But what I'm just saying is that the way you express that love, like Han isn't an expressive person.
Yeah, the fact that like Han wouldn't be the touching your face, oh my god, you're my son, you know? It was more like a mother thing, what I think.
I'd debate that. In another episode, because I think it's time.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's Star Wars. Once you open this door, man, like it's a universe of talks and possibilities, man. Like it's amazing. Where really? Kimmy and I have spent like countless nights just talking about this shit.
Release the Kraken.
Yep.
Release the Kraken.
The drink? Okay.
So yeah, shots. Mike, welcome to the you know, like the group of like fans. You're like a budding fan, like you have to blossom and then like expand your knowledge, but you know, like this is a way of life. Once you open this door, you just have to keep absorbing.
He's a youngling.
Yeah.
You mean I'm gonna be murdered?
50-50.
It all depends.
Not if you're Baby Yoda.
They've tried though.
No. There's a difference between a youngling and a foundling.
Well, that's the Mando tradition.
Exactly. Foundling is Baby Yoda, and he is protected by Mando Daddy, and Mando Daddy will not let anybody touch him.
Yeah. So, yeah, once I catch up with, like, Mandalorian, maybe that's going to be a nice episode for the future. Like, I'm pretty sure I'll be... Like, I started, like, the new... comics that are starting out, so I may have some new ideas in the next few months, so more to come.
Alright, everyone, this is going to be it for episode 4. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter by following the Twitter handle at Geeks and Gripes. Facebook, Instagram is going to be Geeks and Gripes as well. We are on YouTube. And again, we are now on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So, you know, you're going to find us there as well. We look forward to hearing from you again. We do have a Patreon. It's going to be Geeks and Gripes as well. I haven't checked if we have Patreons, honestly, in a while. If you do, we will be so happy because I'm starting to get the fact that this is actually not cheap. So please support us, and again, once if we do have a good amount of Patreons, we will find a way to make exclusive content for you. I know we will figure something out, but in the meantime, enjoy this and look forward for an episode 5 soon. Thank you, everyone. Yeah. And go ahead.
Thanks, Chibi, our guest, for joining us tonight as well.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. It's awesome to get a perspective, and you know, this is not going to be the only Star Wars podcast. So, feel free to join us on any other podcast that we discuss Star Wars or any other topic you're interested in. I don't mind. None of us mind anyway. Getting more perspective is the better. So, for everyone listening, thank you for lasting all this time with us, and hope to hear from you on later episodes that will happen. I have my geek card now.
Finally, you have your geek card again.
Awesome.
See you around, guys.
See you around.
Laters.